y'all. Welcome to the Throws Genius Highland Games podcast. I'm your main host, Janine Tazarczyk. I'm a Highland Games pro, Masters World champion. I currently hold a Masters World record, and I'm also a coach. And joining me, this is a brand new thing here on the podcast. If you've listened before, you know, it's just me talking to myself, by myself, usually in my car with my iPhone headphones with probably like terrible audio. I've made an upgrade in a few different ways. So I actually have like a legit mic now, and I also have a co-host. So this is my bestie, Tiffany. You want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, Tiffany? But yeah, we bonded through trauma. Oh, she's back. All right. So, tell us, let's like fast forward though.
Because that's a lot to tell. That's going to be a whole podcast on its own. We'll fill you in later, folks.
Dude, it's a tell-all memoir that I don't want to get. I don't want to get in legal trouble for. We'd have to. Yeah. Tell us about your experience with the Highland Games. That's what I want to know about.
So yeah, we met, and then you told me all about the Highland Games, and I had no idea what it was. I never heard of it, and so you invited me to one because, of course, you know, hey, I'm up for it. It was cool. What's my favorite competition?
That you attended or event?
The competition within Wichita? The game.
Oh, Wichita? Are you talking about Wichita where you got married?
I got drunk and got married to somebody. I don't know. Now, my favorite part of the sport is the caber toss. I am I remember like seeing that before somewhere, you know, in the past, but it was mm-hmm. so cool to connect that. I'm like, oh, I've seen that before. And so just seeing that those events was so cool. It was so different. It was, I was outside, which is normally mm-hmm. not my comfort area, but,
We're all about self-care. Tiffany is all about self-care.
I am. I'm in
that phrase. I'm afraid I'm going to like blow up my mic.
You introduced me to self-care because I would constantly call myself lazy.
I'm lazy. No, Tiffany, you're engaging in self-care.
But it was great. I mean, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed our trips there. Oh my God, mm-hmm. the longest trip was Wichita, Kansas. Oh my God, that was a 16-hour trip. We broke it up in half, but it was fun. So it's just not the events. I mean, just not the trip. Everything. I liked it. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been to some really big ones.
Question.
Oh, mm-hmm. so many questions, which I love. I love talking about the sport, hence this podcast, although it's been on hiatus for 2 years. But welcome back. We're back with a bang. But yeah, you've attended a really, like, one of the ones that you've been to has been really big. Like, you've been to the Dublin Irish Fest down in Columbus. That one was a really big one.
Oh, that was massive, and it was amazing. Oh my God, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
And then we lost our keys.
Let's not go there. Let's please not.
Every time I would go to these things, it was just never the Highland Games. The Highland Games within itself was absolutely fun. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But we always added some spice.
I do want to point out, we didn't lose our keys.
Oh, yeah.
They were dropped on the ground, and someone held on to them for safekeeping.
Okay. Can we
Let's leave it at that though. Because they were well intentioned. We had to run around a little bit, but you know, it all worked out in the end. Lots of drama, but it all did work out in the end.
Well intentioned. Okay.
Stop. Okay. Before we kinda break into things, I'm super excited to have you on as a co-host because like usually it's me just like talking to myself about this stuff, and like now someone can like ask me questions and be able to have this banter and whatnot. And like you and I have been friends for quite a few years, so you know, we've been through some ups and downs, some tough times together and whatnot. So
I swear it seems like we've known each other for like 20 years. It's insane how you know close we are. So
Yeah. Did we first start working together in like 2018, I think? I think that's when I first started we started working together. And then we really became friends in like early 2019.
When we both got promoted within weeks of each other.
And you were like, no, we have this open office. You're no longer going to be in a hallway.
Don't put me in charge. Don't.
No, you should be in, you make good choices when you're in charge. Cool. Well, sweet. All right. So when Tiffany and I were talking about how to like plan out these episodes and whatnot and what to talk about, there are a couple segments that we're gonna include whenever they're relevant. So one is a games recap if I'm like coming off of a games, and then previewing upcoming games. So we actually can do both of those today. And another thing that I wanted to touch on is the trip that I am hopefully going to be able to make happen later this summer. But I figure we start out with the games recap. So not this past
Tell
weekend, but
us
the week.
about Savannah.
See, the vibe is already fantastic. That was great.
Us.
Oh my God. All right, so Savannah, Georgia. I drove again. That was fun. I'm so gonna put so many miles on my car, and you know this being an accountant, you know it was great on my taxes. Mileage, yes. Self-employed, heck yeah. But yeah, it is last year and this year both. It was very humid, but it really wasn't that hot. The weather on the whole was pretty good. Like for one of the events, it was raining, but otherwise it was pretty dry. So like, you know, that can always put a kink into things. I want to show. I wore this shirt. This is the shirt from last year. There's one of my friends works for this company, Celtic Jackalope, and they
Nice.
have awesome shirt designs. And I when I find the one from this year, I'm posted. I say that I'm not gonna remember to post it, but this is the one from last year that I wore because the shirts were like
So
something
vibrant.
UPS or something. But yeah, Sarah's awesome. I'm gonna see her this weekend again too, actually. They're from California, but they travel all around. But that's one side note. That's been one of the cool things at the games is like some of the vendors have like they've seen my content, we've interacted with each other, and then we get to know each other in real life. Like there's another one, holy heck, I saw them at Savannah as well. Their stands were actually right next to each other. So that's been one of the cool things at the games. Let me see. Competitive, let me think about like competitive. It was a great group again. I love throwing with that group. It's run by by SHAG, which I can't remember what it stands for. It's like Southeastern Highland Athletics Group or something like that. Their website is Throw Shag Shag, which throwshagshag.com, which throwers will get. That's kind of funny.
How was the community? How was everybody together?
Oh, it was awesome. That, like I said, it's really, really great group. I mean, I think I hadn't thrown with everybody before, but quite a few of the women that were there had thrown with them before. We had some real like some newbies and whatnot, and that's always fun. Like it kind of one of the things that kind of stinks on the women's side of the sport is that typically we only have one class for open, and so everybody of all skill levels is all thrown in there together, which usually on the men's side, that's typically less commonly the case. Well, there was a novice class, but there were some women I saw in the novice class, which is like your first like two or three games you can compete in the novice class. But the men had an A and a B class, which sometimes it'll even go down to a C class, the most competitive athletes in the A class, and then B and C and so on. And that's not, I don't see that very often on the women's side. So we had, you know, some really much more developmental throwers in there, and then you have me on the top end.
So wait, let me ask you a question. So
Yeah.
when you say on the men's side, is that similar to like heavyweight, lightweight, middleweight, and they're putting all those people in one, on the women's side, putting them all in one competition together?
Sort of, yeah. Like they're so in the games. Often we do break, not often on the women's side, but it's not uncommon to see the classes split out into a lightweight section and then a regular one. So for men, I think it's like 200 pounds or 205 and under can compete lightweight. And on the women's side, it's like 150 or 155 pounds and under can compete lightweight. But that is less common to see on the women's side. Like, you know, Melissa Thorpe that you met at the games that you went to out in Pennsylvania, out in Amish country. She often competes lightweight. But if there's So yeah, kind of. I don't know. Does that make sense? I don't know if that made sense the way I was.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking, like you said, that they usually separate the classes, and I'm just trying because I don't know how many people are out there like me. I'm not a sports person, but I know some of the basic generic sports terms. So you would, in boxing, you wouldn't have a heavyweight fight a lightweight. So those are the classes that I'm thinking of in my head.
Yeah, in combat sports, they typically break people up into weight classes so that people are competing against someone that they're more evenly matched with. So it's more competitive, more of a fair fight. And in the Highland Games, we do that in a couple different ways. We'll do that by age. So sometimes you'll have youth, you'll have open, and then you'll have masters, which is typically 40 and up. Very rarely is it broken up otherwise, but typically 40 and up. And then sometimes you'll even have it broken down into smaller age groups within the master's class. Sometimes it's like 40 to 49, 50 and up. Sometimes you'll have 60 and up. At Master's Worlds, we're broken up into 5-year increments. And then you might see offer a lightweight class. They might offer a lightweight masters, but that's not super common. We see that at Masters Worlds, there's a lightweight division for women that I think they might have to. I'm not totally sure. I'd have to check on the website. I know some years they've only had one lightweight masters class for women. I think they might have enough entrants on the men's side that they'll break it up into like a 40 to 49 lightweight and then a 50 and up lightweight, but I can't swear to that. And then within like the open class, you'll sometimes see that split out into A, B, and C class. There was one games I did in Tennessee in like 2018, where you're supposed to have 3 athletes in a class for it to like count for whatever purposes. I don't know. Some of the stuff is like, I don't know. Apparently it's supposed to have 3 athletes.
Rules.
Yeah. Like there's stuff on this NASGA, the North American Scottish Games Association. There's this, a website, nasgaweb.org. I think it's .org. It could be .com. But NASGAweb, they have like rules. And they say you have to have 3 athletes in a class for it to like count as a competitive class. That games that I did in 2018, as soon as the 6th woman showed up, we split into an A and a B class. So, you know, as soon as we had 3 and 3, we split up, but that's not, I don't see that often. I don't often see women split into an A and a B. Super rare. I've seen not most commonly, but if you're going to see the women broken apart, the first division you're going to see, the first separation is going to be open and masters, which we had at that game, what we had in Savannah. And we all like traveled around the field together, but on the scoring sheet and in the overall rankings, like open athletes were only scored against each other and masters athletes were only scored against each other. And actually I competed open this year. Last year I competed masters, but, this weekend coming up, I've got a pro competition, and then 2 weeks after that is another competition, a championship one that I'm competing on the open level. And so I wanted to throw the open women's heavyweight, the 28, just to get, you know, competition reps with that in instead of going from the 21 and then having to pick up the 28 at this one, if that makes sense. So I competed open this time. So even though I am over 40, like I couldn't compete masters, but open is open. Anybody of any age can compete in the open class if they elect to. Now, one thing I encountered, there's games I'm going to do this summer. It's the third or fourth time I'm doing this games. It's out in New York. I reached out to the athletic director, the AD is the person that runs the athletics at these different festivals and whatnot, and said I wanted to compete on the open level, and he asked if I compete as an elite or pro. So they're, for the first time competing with that group now, I'm going to have to start competing exhibition. Like I won't be eligible for awards because I've competed as a pro, I guess, which like I've competed as a pro going back to like technically as a pro going back to like 2019. So one of the things that I recommended to him that, you know, you really think about, you know, well, number one, like communicating this, making this publicly known, because you know, the way our sport is, you know, and I've talked with other athletes, like people that are competitively on the same level as me that have been hesitant to like go pro, women go pro because they don't want to miss out on competitive opportunities. because some games are really strict, which more commonly on the men's side, once you've competed as a pro, you can't go back and compete on the open level or as an amateur, unless you have to, you know, throw exhibitions. So you can still get marks, but I don't know if they would like count. Here's the thing, like, would they count? Do you still put them in NASGA? Do you still get, like, they might not get awards. But on the women's side, although there are increasing opportunities for us on the pro level, not all of them are really paid. Sometimes it's just that you get put up in a hotel. Sometimes you might get paid an appearance fee. But there are, I would say that there, although it's getting better, there are fewer opportunities for women than there are for men on the pro level. And so it's a little bit higher stakes for us if we're going to, like, go pro. And that's what one of my friends was a little concerned about. And, like, she's newer to the sport, you know, a couple years newer to the sport than I am. And, like, doesn't travel as much, hasn't seen as many games as I have. And, like, that's one of the challenges in the sport is, like, information can be hard to access, mm-hmm. especially if you're new and you don't want to, because of how people are about opportunities and stuff, you don't want to, like, step on toes, you don't want to say the wrong thing to the wrong person. And so that's one of my big soapboxes, things that I'll get up on, is, like, having information freely available is, like, hugely important. Having transparency and stuff.
Would you say that's one of the main reasons that Highland Games is so, like, a lot of people don't know about
niche.
It?
Niche?
Yeah, such a niche. I've never heard of it. And people I've talked to, you know, whenever I say, oh, my best friend, she's an athlete. Oh, what is she doing? I
got a reference. You tell them. You could, like, it was in Brave. It was in the movie Brave. They did some Highland Games stuff in there. So that's a reference. Okay. It was in, like, an episode of Home Improvement that somebody did the caper toss. And it used to be on, like, ESPN and stuff, but it hasn't been. So you're asking, like, is that the lack of information and transparency a reason that it's not, like, better known? I think there's a lot of reasons for the lack of exposure of the sport. I think that there are a lot of people that are, like, old school in the sport, and so, you know, I'm not the only one that's been out on social media, but I think that, like, I don't want to toot my own horn. I mean, you know what kind of following I have, right? Like, I think that what I've been able to demonstrate because of what I've invested into social media, how much work I put into creating engaging content and putting stuff out there, like, regularly across multiple platforms, is that it's really demonstrated that there is a big audience out there. But what I have observed, you know, like, a lot of Highland Games athletes post a lot of content on Instagram. Not just on Instagram, but that's, like, Facebook is, like, where you go to get information about games. People post, like, games results and videos and stuff. That I'd say a lot of that stuff goes on Instagram. It's become increasingly prevalent on TikTok. But for the most part, the impression I get is people are posting content for people within the sport. And from when I started going on TikTok, like, looking at that as, like, a new platform, and posting content on there, you know, talking to, like, late 2020, my whole MO was, like, my audience, my market is people not in the sport. And so that really influences a lot of how I present the content, what I put in my captions, when I put numbers up and, like, you know, superlatives about, like, how I'm performing and whatnot. It's not to, like, show off or, like, brag about myself to people in the sport. I'm frankly posting it primarily, that stuff is for people that have no clue, and, like, putting some numbers on there or saying, you know, the first to do is this year or, like, whatever, you know, hyping that stuff up, that puts it in context for people, like you're saying, that have no idea what's going on in the sport. And so that's why I post the content the way that I do. But going back to your question, though, I think that the sport is, it's an ancient sport. And we have a lot of people involved in the sport, especially in positions of power, who a lot of them are older and they're more accustomed to more traditional forms of media. And so I think sometimes they may not necessarily have seen the value in putting things out on social media. But and also, like, these events, like, the people who run, like, the overall Savannah Scottish Games, for example, the board, I'm not talking about the athletics, because the group that runs the athletics there, the heavy athletics, does multiple events all around the Southeast. So it's a little bit different. But when you're talking about people who run a games, like the Savannah Games, that's their primary thing. They typically, that's the only games that they're involved in running. And so they're more focused, I would say, my guess is that they're more focused locally, you know, getting local sponsors, promoting it to people who are local. And so, you know, more traditional forms of media are going to serve that end better. You know, I have seen in the last couple of years, more games and more festivals putting more effort into social media. And like, they'll do profiles on the athletes, for example, they'll highlight the athletes that they know are going to compete, be competing at their festival. And you know, talking with people who do media, the conversations I've had, like, I think that there's a desire to grow and expand that way, but like, not everybody sees the value in it necessarily to the same degree. So yeah, I think that's part of it. And like, and also like, the sport used to be on like ESPN and stuff. And you know, I don't know what the path forward is to like get us back on ESPN, but I think that what I've seen from the people that like see my content and comment on my stuff or talk to me, like, there's a huge market out there of people that are absolutely interested in watching this sport. And so I think that we could do like they have like strongman competitions, World's Strongest Man, that kind of stuff is really big on, you know, in, out there in the public consciousness. Even like CrossFit has really blown up. And I think, you know, having, if we're able to develop, like if more athletes are able to be featured, and I'm not necessarily saying that like everybody has to promote themselves, because that's not everybody's like cup of tea. Not everybody is inclined to post content the way that I do. But we have some really cool personalities in the sport, really unique people. And like, I just think that that's one thing, one avenue too. Like, people are going to be more engaged in the sport if they know, like, they have somebody that they want to go watch compete. You know, like people buying a Michael Jordan jersey. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there's a huge opportunity for developing more like personalities within the sport. So I think, yeah, I think there's just a lot of stuff that like hasn't been tapped into yet. And not necessarily the biggest like adjustment towards the current like media landscape more broadly. So yeah. I could talk your ear off about this. Not that I think about this. I think about this stuff all the time.
How do you find these different competitions to attend? Because like, if I just, what are you there? I think I lost you.
Oh, I'm here. I see no, I'm here. TikTok,
but I'm, okay. I'm here. So just as a lay person.
Yeah.
If I wanted to go to one central location to find all the schedules, all these little local games that happen, but all over the country, and I live over here in Wichita, Kansas, how would I know that that's there?
That's a huge challenge. I would say, so this allows me to transition well into bringing up the Sisterhood of Highland Throwers. Like, there's a couple things. So, one that's not, I don't think we have anything that's, like, super great, that's, like, super user-friendly for, on any one of these platforms. I think one place you can look is on that NASGA website, you can look and like a previous year, you can go to the database and look at a previous year, and you can do a drop down. You can look through and see all the games that happened in the last year, and they have a list like upcoming games and whatnot. So that's one way. On the Sisterhood of Highland Throwers, this is a nonprofit that a couple masters women started a couple years ago to help support women within the sport and help support the growth of the women's side and whatnot. And develop like better sisterhood within us all. They, on their website, it's like hgsisterhood.com, there's an interactive Google map with pins that show both women that have volunteered to be like ambassadors for the sport, but then also games locations, and they have a list of games within the US and within Canada. So that if you click on that, it'll pull up a Google sheet. And you can look at, it's by calendar, but you can, you know, by dates, and you can look at where all the games are located. And I think she has that one a little bit more filtered to ones that we know include women, involve women, particularly in there, because that's like kind of the point of that whole website too, and the organization. So yeah, it's not, I mean, to find like all of the games, like there's an association of Scottish games and festivals, I think it's something along those lines. That's an American thing that a lot of, one of my friends, Heather McKenzie, she's really involved with that. And I think people from all different festivals, not just in heavy athletics, but these festivals in general, it's like a membership organization, and they have their meetings and they talk about stuff. And I think on their website or on their Facebook page, you might be able to find games. But it's, yeah, that's a challenge. Like, there's not like, again, that's the information and whatnot. Yeah.
Are they gatekeeping this stuff? Do they just not want to share with us?
I don't think it's that it's gatekept. I don't think it's, like, gatekeeping. I think it's just, like, people are just, like, kind of in their silos, and they're just, like, they're doing their own thing, and, you know, I think it's more that than anything. Like, I don't think it's anything, like, malicious or whatever, but I think, I don't know. I think that there's a great opportunity there for improvement with that, for sure. But it's also, like, who's going to be the person, like, who's going to be the group or the thing to, like, take the lead? Because, like, you look at it different, like, if we're looking at it just in the sports side, like, with track and field, there's a national governing body for a lot of sports in the U.S. and other countries. There's a national governing body that you can go to that national governing body's website, and you can look up meets, you can look up all this information. They have a set of rules. They have guidelines for officials. It's all very standardized and whatnot. Highland Games doesn't really have that. Like, we have a lot of, like, regional organizations. Sometimes they have their own rules. A lot of times those are based on the NASCO rules. But, like, one of the things I've experienced is, like, I sometimes need to check, like, okay, do you allow reversing after you throw the Braemar stone? Because what happened to me one games, I thought everywhere you could reverse, and I went to this one game, so they're like, no, you're not allowed to reverse. Like, it was a whole, and I found out after I got called a foul on a throw. So, like, you know, some places use straight trigs, some places use angled winged trigs. So there's, you know, there's not, and that now I see as some
standard. Oh my God, that would kill me. That would drive me crazy.
I'll be honest, like, when I first started in the sport, having come from a track and field world, to where everything is standard and, like, you bring your own implement and the surface that, you know, like, we, like, get upset if, like, the cement is too slippery, right? Or if it's too rough. Meanwhile, now we're throwing on grass. The grass might even not even be level, you know? The size of the stone is different at every games. The caber is different at every, you know, like, the most standardization you're going to get is in, like, the hammers and the weights, but even sometimes those have different shapes. They have different physics to it, different geometries, different shape handle for the weight for distance. And that, like, that used to drive me crazy when I was new to the sport, because that meant, in addition to just learning the technique and, like, mastering the events themselves, I also had to adjust to all these other variables. And even with a hammer, you can have different diameter hammer handles, so, like, even there's variation even there. But now that I'm, you know, I'm still trying to get better at, like, 28-pound heavyweight for distance. That's still meh. But for the most part, like, I know how to throw all this stuff now, and I'm not chasing PRs as much as I was when I first started out. And now I see the value in, like, having variation from one game to the next. It really does, whoever wins on that day, like, that really is an assessment of who truly is the best thrower. Like, thrower comprehensively. Whereas, like, in track and field, it's like, okay, who's the best shot putter? Who's the best hammer thrower? Who's the best discus thrower? Whereas here, it's like, because you can't shit the bed on multiple events and still end up winning at the end of the day, because it'll screw up your point total. But, like, so it's like, who can be the most consistent? Who can adapt to the unique conditions? Like, us having rain for the lightweight for distance at Savannah. You know, it's like, whoever can adapt to a sheaf that's, like, super tight or super loose, or a big-ass caver, or one that's still got sap on it or whatever. You know, like, it really does assess how good of a thrower you are. So I definitely see, like, as a new thrower, all that can be really frustrating. But once you get along your development, like, and that's the fun of the sport. And that's part of why I think, you know, people have asked me, like, how long I'm going to keep participating in the sport. I could see myself doing this forever, like, until they have to pry my sheath fork from my cold dead hands, because, like, that's part of the fun of it now. It's like, okay, what's going to be new this time? You know, it's never the same, and that's a lot of the fun of it for me now.
You know, one of the first games I went to with you, and this is along this question, I was going to ask you, how do you train for all of these differences? Okay, mm-hmm. How do you prepare and train for all these differences? Also, I remember going to one of the first games with you, and this guy, I think he was still new in the sport, and he was so bulky and built and cut and just, and he did horribly, like, horribly. Like, you would have thought, because he was so, like, He was just this big bodybuilder. He was awful. Awful. So he clearly didn't understand. Can you tell me answer both those. Like, how do you train for all the differences in those games, and what's necessary? Like, clearly that wasn't.
I love you so much. Oh my god. So the as far as like preparing for the unexpected, I think that that's just experience, because I don't have multiple different types. Now, I did get, for when I ordered my weights for distance, my 28 I got with a round handle, my 14 I got with a triangle handle. I got one hammer with a bigger diameter handle and one with a smaller diameter handle. So to a certain extent, I did prepare for that. That helped me with preparation. I have a few different stones, but honestly, I think it's just time and like experience. Just throwing at different, it's something you learn by doing, throwing at different events and what, and also, and talking to other throwers. Like, there's a huge amount of knowledge that you can tap into with people who have been around the sport for a long time. I've learned a lot from people who have been around the sport longer than me. And that's a good way to like kind of shortcut, you know, you having to learn all that stuff on your own, is like being, talking to people who've been around longer, for sure. And then what was your question about the bodybuilder?
Clearly, he didn't have to do all that. Because it did nothing for his game. And I was so fascinated. I was clearly just watching him F up throughout the whole entire competition. You know, I don't know if that was, I don't think that was the drunk one where I was completely hammered. Quickly, I'll just address this real quick. Wichita, Kansas was so just that was a trip, man. You know, it was a trip.
That was so funny.
I discovered mead, and I end up marrying somebody. And
he tried to like, he wanted to keep talking to you. How did he reach out to you? Did he like text
because the beauty, okay, so when I go with Janine to these Highland Games, Janine is an athlete. She's participating, so that is what she is doing. So I'm usually by myself, and I don't have a problem being alone, which is, if you're gonna go to one of these sports, you gotta be okay with entertaining yourself, or bring a pal with you. But if you're not okay with entertaining yourself, you need to bring somebody.
But also, there's these games, there's a lot to do. So I think you're talking about, like, you're not, if you're going to be just sitting there the whole time, you might. Now, if they have a good MC, and, like, this, sometimes that is plenty entertaining to be there by the athletics, if you haven't, but also, it's a long day.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
So, but you're great at entertaining yourself, and you would just, I had no worries that you were going to be totally fine, especially at Wichita and at Double, like, you were going to be fine.
Oh God, we got the Wichita. Did we already know that it was a medieval fair?
Yeah, I did. I don't know if I told you, but I knew it was a Renaissance fair.
I had never been to a medieval fair, so I just want the audience to kind of look at me. And do you think that you'll find somebody like me at a medieval fair?
Do you remember how salty you were at a Dublin that there was so much diversity? You were like, I wanted to stand out.
I was the only one. Anyway, so she's competing, and I'm like, okay, I saw a few things. And then I went and discovered this wine area, and I never had mead before. That stuff is fabulous. Mm-hmm. I kept just knocking them back. I ended up leaving with a bottle. But I went over to the jousting section. I sat there, and I'm watching this jousting competition, and this guy was sitting over, and then we just ended up talking to each other, and we ended up hanging out, and he fell in love with me.
I can't blame him. You're fabulous, so I get it.
He fell in love with me, and then he proposed to me. He bought me a necklace. That was my engagement necklace. I don't even remember what was on it.
I'm dead.
And so Janine was in the middle of a competition, so I get over there, and I am wasted at this point.
I know, I think you came over to me one point, and you were like, I got married, and I was like, yes. Okay, and I just kept going. I was like, great.
You were like, cool. Because I can tell in your head, you were like, you know what, Tiffany, I can't with you right now. Like, I gotta... Just do whatever it is you're doing, because I gotta compete. I need to focus. So finally, after the end of the whole thing, it's time for us to go.
Yeah.
And so Janine had already decided, okay, let me address this.
Because he was, like, lingering. He, like, was, like, it was like he wanted us to take him with us.
He did. He asked. He said he would go. And I'm like, so, red flag.
And you, you like, weren't... I was basically, like, you let me be the bad guy. I was like, no.
and then absolutely you were like, not. Look, at some point, he ended up being away from us. I don't know how that happened, but you were like, Tiffany, as soon as I say run, you run. I'm like, okay. Again, I'm still drunk. And then, next thing you know, she had all her bags and boxes. And so, she goes,
we had to make a break for it!
She said, Tiffany, run! And I just thought, I just started running.
Oh my god. I don't remember the run part.
You were like, run.
So but I don't put it back.
We hurried up and put everything in the trunk of the car. Yes. And you were like, get in the car, Tiffany. You were just like, get in the car. And so as soon as we got in the car, you forgot something to get out of the trunk. She gets out of the car, goes to the back, lifts the trunk, and then when she calls me, he's standing right there. And that's what he was. And then she was, I think you told him she'll call you when she gets home or something. Like, you were just trying to
get us the heck out of there without a stowaway.
And then Janine said
did he message you on something?
I think he found me on Facebook.
Oh my god.
He found me on Facebook. And you said you would never take me to Las Vegas because of that incident. You're afraid that I'm going to end up marrying somebody.
Like, real. Legit, like, actually, legally marrying somebody. And I won't be able to leave them behind.
Right. Oh my god, we have so much fun. I mean, it is
legit
crazy fun. Not just the games itself. It's just, oh crap, did I have my whole mic mute this whole time? Sorry.
No, you've been good. Talking. You're good.
But it's been so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. You know, it's so interesting, because when we were going out to that games in, like, that was 2020, I think, that games that we went to out in Pennsylvania. We were talking business ideas back then some of that stuff's finally actually coming to fruition. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. I knew this was going to happen. We'd start talking about, we only need to come up with a few topics to talk about and then we would just go from there.
I wrote notes. We haven't touched on like even one tenth of the stuff.
Which is fine. Oh my gosh. Which that's fine.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. I don't know.
Which is shooting the shit. What did you say? Shooting the shit.
Exactly. I don't know if that's what I said, but I do want to show you. I don't know if you saw the picture. So I won athlete of the day. This thing, oh, I weighed it.
Nice.
It's only 14 pounds. It is so heavy. It feels like the weight that we throw up over. It is so heavy.
I swear, they have the coolest trophies and awards.
Right?
Oh my god, damn sword.
Oh, I got a sword this weekend, too.
Oh, show me.
Yeah, I got it. Let me take it out. This is actually, like, a sharp one. Oh my god. I don't know if I showed you the one at this one games that I won at this one games last summer. It has, like, it was very patriotic. I'll just leave it at that. This is.
Ooh, nice.
Like a machete or some shit. But yeah.
Nice.
Yep. I will say, note to athletic directors. One thing I will say, when you're looking at what awards to get people, Especially if you're a games where you anticipate that people are flying to your games, make sure that they're short enough to fit inside a suitcase. And like this one, if I was flying, I don't know what I would have done. So it would have made my luggage overweight.
Shelly is on TikTok. She says, Janine, thanks for being a great friend to my mom. You guys' friendship is so real.
Oh, that's awesome.
Love you.
That's so great. And somebody asked of mine, if I'm going to be at the Stern Classic in Oklahoma City. I'm not. I'm going to be at the Smoky Mountain Scottish Games and Festival, or Scottish Festival and Games. I always flip-flop it. That's in Townsend, Tennessee. I'm super excited to be going back there. We can talk about this if you want now. I don't know what else to say. One of the things, let me wrap up talking about Savannah, and then we can talk about that games, and we can wrap up with the Europe trip thing. I don't know why I even bought this thing. I think I bought it for this case for when I went to Alaska or something. It's like, it's water sealed, like watertight when you close it up. But what I have in here, I've got Joanna Barron from the Sisterhood sent me a bunch of info cards. I ran out the games early this year, so I've got these little like info cards about the Sisterhood, and I've got a little QR code. I have a ton of those. So again, if you're ever at a games and you know and that I'm at, and you want to grab one of those, you can grab several and give them away. I also have some stickers. I gave away a bunch of these last time. The Sisterhood, the take up space one. And this one says, "Throw heavy, throw far." Because you know, Tiffany, we all put tons of stickers on our... Oh my gosh, speaking of stickers on gearboxes. So, you know, Robert, darling little 7-year-old Robert, who incidentally, he knocked out his second top front tooth. It was already loose. He had lost one of his top front teeth already. His second one was loose. We went to a trampoline park on Saturday and he like knocked it out on the trampoline. It was very dramatic. There were tears and blood, and then he rallied and he kept on jumping. It was very impressive. So anyway, now he is missing his two top front teeth. It's super cute, actually. I'll have to send you a picture later. I also in here, I got these printed a while back. So neither of the hairstyles are what I have right now. I don't know how clear that is. But I've got these, and I've got Sharpies, like, to sign if people want, like, a little signed card. I don't want to sound like I'm some kind of diva or something like that, because I'm really not, but, like, it's a cool, like, I also have started bringing, like, some medals with me. I bring them with me to give away to kids and stuff, to, like, inspire them. I saw somebody else was talking about doing this on Facebook, to, like, giving them away to kids is, like, an inspirational thing to get them involved in the games. Oh my god, this was so funny. Last week at Savannah, there were a couple spectators that like, so two of the events that we threw on a separate field, this like baseball field, and last year we didn't have many people come out and watch. This year a bunch of people came out to watch us throw hammer, but when we were out there throwing lightweight, it was raining, and so we really didn't have any spectators out there, and we were like down the field throwing that one where there were no bleachers. And these three people that had been like following us around and cheering for the women's group all day, they were like, "Where are you guys going next?" And we told them where we were at. They stuck out there in the rain and they absolutely hyped us up. And it was like, it's a total game changer for the vibe and the dynamic and how well people throw when you have people that are like hyping you up and whatnot. So I actually gave them a couple of the medals that I had, I signed on the ribbon and gave them. They were like, I think they may have been a little bit drunk, but like still, they thought it was super awesome. And I was like, you know, like, yeah, it's really cool to give them to kids to inspire them, but also like they're probably gonna come out to this games next year, you know what I mean? And they're probably gonna, like, they had this awesome experience where they got to know the throwers and like, and they, you know, and whatnot, so like they're probably gonna hype it up to more people next year too. So I did want a couple medals too. They have medals for specific events and then for the overall and Savannah, so I got one for hammer, one for sheath, and one for caber, and then one for the open women. So these are pretty cool. So I'll hang these up too. And then I think there was something else. Oh, this is cool. So I got the tacky that I've been using since last year. I bought at the Savannah Games. Now, we use pine tar tacky. It can be kind of dangerous to make. Like, it's not something everybody's gonna make. It's not something you can really like buy in stores, as far as I know. But there are a few athletes in the sport that make their own tacky and they'll sell it. So this guy, Kevin, he has a red beard. He was, and I finally remembered his name. I felt so, you know how, I don't know if you know how bad I am with names. Like, I'll meet somebody over and over and over again, and I'll be like, I know who you are. I can tell you all these stories about all the times that we've met each other and all the stuff that we've done. And I just, a black, blank space where your name is. So I remember his name now. that's good. And he, yeah, the tacky was, it's really good tacky. So I'm excited about that. Yes. So wrapping up Savannah, do you have any other questions about Savannah?
I don't. I want to
I didn't. I don't think I threw any implements into the crowd this time, which happened last time. I think I might be responsible for them moving the lightweight to another field, because on lightweight last year, it slipped out of my hand a little bit early. It wasn't like directly to the side. It was just on an angle. But where they had the lightweight located, it was like in the corner. Like the field is kind of shaped like a, almost like the crest on this thing. And they had us throwing lightweight down here. And so I let it go a little bit early, and it just kind of like bounced into the crowd. This is going to be my legacy in the sport too. I don't know if you know this, but like I hit a spectator.
Let me write that down.
Oh, geez.
As another subject that we can bring up later.
Safety?
Oopsies.
Yeah, we can revisit that.
We're human.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, Savannah, but on the whole, Savannah was fun. It was great. The you know, I'm a member of the Clan Campbell. It's like my family tartan, my family ancestry. Like these festivals, the bigger ones, family heritage and people researching like genealogy and stuff is a really a big aspect of the festivals. And often they'll have like clan tents with a C, like clan meaning family tents, and people will have a lot of information there. People can go around and talk to them. And I've started getting more involved in that and trying to make a point to go and talk to the people at the Clan Campbell tent. I met up with them. Such a good choice. The woman that is I think she's the Georgia commissioner for Clan Campbell, Scotch eggs. I've never had a Scotch egg before. I don't even know how they make them, but they're like a hard boiled egg inside like ground beef basically. It's like, and it's like cut open. It's so good. And I heard other people saying like, oh yeah, she makes the best Scotch eggs and like facts.
I've seen that on TV before. I want to taste that.
Yeah, and she had shortbread, also phenomenal, and scones. They were like raspberry scones. And then when I was getting ready to leave, she was like, oh, do you want me to fix you a plate? Pimento cheese sandwiches, one that was like cream cheese with like dates and pecans or something, and then I got some of all the other stuff. It was so good. And Stone Mountain, Georgia, they've got a really big games in October, which I threw it last year. I'm hoping I'll be at that one again this year. It's actually the 50th anniversary of like the Clan Campbell Society of North America. They're having their annual meeting at Stone Mountain. So I'm super excited to like see Pat and Art and them and meet more of the people in Clan Campbell. So that'll be fun.
Cool.
Yeah. And there will be a Clan Campbell tent at the Smoky Mountain Games this weekend. I reached out to the guy that's the Tennessee, so I'm going to go by and say hi, either Saturday or Sunday. This is a 2-day festival, and this is the first year they're having a women's pro class, which is, like, that's huge. The guy that leads the SHAG group that runs the heavy athletics at the Random at Savannah and the Random at the Smoky Mountain Games, he's been really great at pushing for increased opportunities for women and really bringing about like equity within the sport. So like this games, I competed there for the first time 2 years ago. And that year women were actually on Sunday, which is not an uncommon thing to see when there's a 2-day festival. That they think that women, I think the rationale behind it originally perhaps is that women wouldn't be that big of a draw, and so they would have them on Sunday when there's lower attendance at the festival. And so I, talking with people, like I come to find out, sometimes people didn't even know that women competed in the heavy athletics because they would only go to their games, their like local games on a Saturday, and they wouldn't be there like on Sunday to see the women throw. So the first year we were on Sunday, and then last year they moved open women to Saturday, and now this year we've been elevated to having a professional class there for the first time. So that's really huge. Just four of us that are going to be competing in the women's pro class on Saturday. So I'm super excited about that. And like, it's, you know, we're not, it used to be on the campus of Maryville College, and I think that was a little bit closer to Knoxville, but like, you know, like I went to the University of Tennessee, I think it's already in Frame, but there's my, you know, my singlet from being on the track team at UT. But it always feels kind of like a homecoming to go back and throw in Tennessee, especially like so close to Knoxville. And that's always like UT and UT sports are one of the biggest things in East Tennessee, one of the biggest attractions. And so, that's a huge hit with the crowd there for them to know, like, you got a Lady Vol throwing on the field, the former Lady Vol. And last year there were actually two of us. There was another woman, Ace, who threw also in the women's open class, who she also threw at UT. Our time didn't quite overlap. I graduated a few years before she started. But that was really cool to have two Lady Vols throwing there on the field last year. But yeah, and it's a really neat setting. They moved to Townsend and like the park there, and it's, I think they're even going to expand the area that athletics has this year. So yeah, I'm super excited to see that for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Tell us about Scotland.
Oh my goodness. All right. So this is like, So Scotland is connected with a trip to Switzerland. To go compete at the Scottish Masters Athletics International Sanctioned Masters World Championship. So last year they were in Moncton, New Brunswick, up in Canada, up on the East Coast. And I won my first Masters World Championship that last year. And this year the games are hosted in Switzerland. They were supposed to be in Netherlands, and then somebody got hit and killed that was near a games in the Netherlands. That was like right before Dublin last year. It was like in July, end of July, early August that happened. So they ended up moving to a new country. So now the games are in Switzerland. And I had originally just been looking at doing the games in Switzerland, and then talking with one of the other women that's in my class that's going to be there as well. She was saying like some of them are looking at going up to Scotland the following weekend. And as I started looking into it a little bit more, like, if I can make it happen, I want to make this happen, because the Saturday after the Masters World Championships is the Braemar Gathering. This is one of the oldest and best known games in Scotland. It's one that the royal family, like the Queen, used to attend. So like, I imagine the King will attend, like, it's a really big deal. Now also, and there's a Netflix series called Home Games, and that one, I think the second episode is about the Highland Games, and the Braemar Gathering is heavily featured in that. They've never had women throw there. So this is like, you know, this is my whole thing. This fits in with everything that I do. Like, it would be really amazing to be really like groundbreaking and be part of the first group of women that gets to throw at this games. From what I understand, the women will be throwing alongside the men, meaning we'll be in the same class and throwing the same implements. And that's not really optimal, but we'll make it work. And, you know, from what I understand, you know, of the history of women within the heavy athletics, you know, within the Highland Games, women weren't allowed to, you know, even in the U.S., women weren't allowed to compete for a really long time. And that the first women that did compete, they had to go out there and throw the men's implements. And it's still that case at games in Scotland at certain ones. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm just going to kind of suck it up. I'm going to do what I can to prep to throw the heavier implements. There's a lot of overlap. Like, I can handle throwing a heavier stone. Our heavy hammer is the men's light hammer. Our heavyweight is the men's lightweight. And I don't think it's going to be too challenging for me to transition to throwing the 22-pound hammer for the men's heavy hammer. But throwing that 56-pound weight for distance and also weight over bar, I think that's going to be a challenge. They're not going to have sheaf, I don't think. They don't really contest sheaf in Europe as much as we do over here, so that's not an issue. The cabers, I mean, I put my hands into pretty heavy cabers, so I feel like I might not turn the men's caber, but I feel like I'm not going to get hurt at it. I'm not going to totally suck at it. But yeah, that weight for distance and the weight for height for the heavyweight, that's going to be interesting. One of the things that the athletic director said in an email that he sent to a woman who's been kind of laying some of the groundwork for this, is that the judge, after we throw the heavyweight, the judge is going to determine whether it's like safe and appropriate for the women to continue throwing. So that, you know, and the group that's going to be there, it's a lot of other Masters women. And I think, you know, some of them have competed on the open level you know, whether they've had to or done so by choice. But I think it's going to be a challenge for a lot of them to throw the 56. It should be a challenge for me to throw the 56. So, like, I've thrown heavier stuff because of what I've done. I've done, like, an ultraweight pentathlon for track and field, but where I've thrown up to, like, a 98-pound weight, but the technique is different and you use two hands as opposed to one hand. So I'm going to have to see, you know, between now, if I'm able to raise the funds and, you know, get that money, be able to afford to make the trip, I'm going to have to look into what I can do with a 56-pound weight.
Again, tell us the difference in the weight.
So for the heavyweight, women throw a 28 and open men throw a 56. For our lightweight, we throw a 14, men throw a 28. And for weight over bar, and on the master's level, men throw a 42 and women throw a 21. So for a lot of these women that typically only compete on the master's level, they're going to be going from a 21-pound heavyweight to a 56-pound heavyweight. Like, that's a huge jump. Even the lightweight, you know, it's much more doable, but going from a 21 to a 28, like, that's not an insignificant jump. And, like, some of these women, they're super strong. Like, I don't doubt them being able to handle it. But, like, also, we're all over the age of 40, you know, like, some people, like, a lot older than 40. So that's part of the reason that the weights decrease as you get older, is to decrease the risk of injury and to make sure that people can keep participating in the sport, you know, with longevity. And there's even been, there's a move, or when we throw out Masters Worlds, I believe it's the 60 and older, they throw even lighter implements than what you typically see in the Masters competition. So, so it's going to be interesting. But honestly, like, I'm very excited about the Masters World Championships, but, you know, I was a Highland dancer for 8 years growing up. This would be my first time. I've been close. Like, I've been to London, I've been to England before, but I've never been to Scotland. And, like, so I really, really hope I'm able to pull it off. And not only that, but then to be part of that, like, groundbreaking group, potentially throwing a Braemar, like, that would be huge. Like, I would love to be able to do that. And there, you know, my plan would be to go to Switzerland the first weekend. We've got an event on Friday. We throw on Saturday and Sunday, and then leaving on Monday. I'm looking at flying into Zurich and then not getting a car down there if I can get away with it, using public transportation or getting rides from people. The Airbnb that I'd be staying at with some of the German throwers and a thrower from America. It's only like 15 minutes from the field, so I'm not that worried about transportation there. But then I would take a train that would probably go overnight, a train from Zurich up to Glasgow. I think it's like a 17-hour train ride with a few transfers. And then renting a car up in Glasgow, so that'd be Tuesday. And then I'd have a couple days to do some sightseeing and go see some of the, like, the castles that have some connections with the Clan Campbell. There's like, I'm gonna mispronounce it, but there's like Inverary Castle and like Cowder Castle that we have some connections with. So going to see some of those things, and if there's any other sites, you know, see, checking those out before then throwing at Braemar on Saturday. And then Sunday, the next day, I think it's, I'm gonna mispronounce it. It's like Blair Gowdry or something like that. Excuse me. They have a games on Sunday, and they do have a women's class. I don't know what weight implements we would be throwing. I don't know if they have women, you know, graded implements for the women's class. I can find that out, but again, like, I'll make it work no matter what. They also have the Ardblair stones, which, I don't know, did you see the video from when I was in Tallahassee, Tiffany, and I picked up those stones, like, picked them up mm-hmm. off the ground? They have those, and they have a bigger series that go up heavier than, much heavier than the ones that are the women had in Tallahassee. But that is, like, that's a really special kind of unique thing. There we go. No worries. I want to look into that more, see if I can try my hand at the Ardblair stones, because I think that'd be super cool to do that too. Like, they're, you know, they're really like historic, and to be able to participate in something like that in Scotland would just be amazing. So, yeah.
How can we help get you there?
Thank you for asking, Tiffany. All right. So, you know, there's a number of different ways that people can support me. Just, you know, people can find me on any form of social media that I'm on at Janine Throws. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. I monetize on YouTube, so any views that I get on stuff there, that's really huge. And sharing videos and engaging with them is like a great way to help boost the content that I put out there. I have created a fundraising page on makeachamp.com. It's a website I've used before that I like. But makeachamp.com/JanineThrows will take you right to the specific fundraiser for this event. I'm trying to raise, $3,500. If I'm another option, because I'm looking at flying with American Airlines, if people have like American Airlines miles that they can transfer, if I can get enough miles to cover those tickets, then that would drop the cost by about $1,000. So that would be huge if people have miles that they wanted to donate. Another thing, I started doing online Highland Games coaching, at the beginning of this year. I have a couple clients, but I definitely have room for more to take on more clients. Just reach out to me, hit me up, DM me on Instagram is probably the best place to DM me, or email me Janine@JanineThrows.com. If you're interested in that, I have a Patreon. I haven't done a ton on Patreon, but as I'm like now this podcast is being relaunched, I'm looking at potentially having like Patreon exclusive episodes or segments that would go on there that wouldn't be published to the general public. But that's just a way, like if you just want to, send me a few bucks a month, like that would be awesome. I also just joined Cameo, so that's a website where people can request personalized videos. I set it to like $25, so I figured that'd be a pretty reasonable rate. Just to get a personalized video for you or somebody that you love, somebody, a well wish for somebody. Maybe somebody's got their first Highland Games this summer and you want like, a good luck video for me. I'm more than happy to do something like that. And then I'm going to be having merch up soon. Like I'm trying to get this done by the end of this week, early next week. I want to start, I have two t-shirts and sticker designs that I want to put out. And that would be, I'll be posting about it on all my social media when I do get that up.
I don't know how to stop this thing. It's not. Sorry.
I don't know. I'm not a fit. It's hilarious.
SJ, do something.
And then I'll have that up on the website as well, JanineThrows.com. I actually just went and updated my schedule for 2023. You're asking about what game, where you can find games. That's only the games that I'm planning on attending. Yeah.
Great start, audience. A great place to start. So one more thing. So what do you want from this new relaunch of this podcast? What are you trying to accomplish here?
What am I trying to accomplish? Well,
what are we gonna do?
I want to give people, there have been several starts at Highland Games podcasts in the past, and they've people stop recording them. And I think that people like within the sport are just hungry for more content about the Highland Games and getting a little bit more of like an inside look and into a particular Highland Games athlete, and hearing stuff that they might not hear, learn from other sources and whatnot. And I think, also for me, with what I do with social media, trying to gear it towards people outside of the sport also, or people that might just be getting started and interested in the sport. It's really just helping people be better educated. And I think people are better fans if they know a little bit more about what's going on. And so, just kind of trying to fill in some of those gaps and help grow the sport on the spectator side and as also on the participant side. But then, pragmatically also, it's another way for people to get, a little bit more access to me, a way for me to promote stuff, of my own too, so I can, have it all in one place, and whatnot. And just, be more accessible, on a different platform than just the social media stuff. So.
And I think that if they want to know more about us and our our adventures, this is the best place to come.
Absolutely. Now you have to come with me on a trip sometime so we can record the podcast on the road.
Of course. We got some stories for you. And we've only known each other, what?
Four years. 4.5 years, yeah.
4.5 years. We have so many friggin' stories.
It's some of these stories, Tiffany, some of these stories will be well suited for the Patreon. Like, we need to have, like, oh my gosh. Do you know what we need to do? We need to have Tiffany and Janine with a glass of wine.
Oh my God.
Out of wine.
Drunk us?
Yes, drunk yes. Us. We are so much fun when we're drunk. That needs to be Patreon exclusive. I've already, it's been decided. That is what the Patreon exclusive episodes are going to be. Do you remember, like, end of 2020, that one TikTok live that we did when you were over here and we were both drinking wine? Oh, I said.
And I discovered that Amazon sells dildos. I didn't know.
Do you know what I found out? You can't return dildos that you buy on Amazon. Don't ask me how I know this. All right, this has been fun. On that note, Patron for the Patreon. Patron for the Patreon, Tiffany. That's what it's going to be. Patron for the Patreon. Done, dusted, signed, sealed, delivered. All right. I don't know what else to say. We'll sign off here, I guess.
Let's sign off. It's my nap time. I like to take a nap.
Dude, it's past your nap time. You about to be... How are you about to be, Tiffany? In your bed? You're about to be...
Akimbo!
On that note...
That's a word I learned.
You're welcome. On that note, we'll see you all next time. Peace!